And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast. If you're listening to other road racing podcasts, it's probably brain damage caused by bovine growth hormone.
Bovine growth hormone,
number
Ed.
48. That was pretty good.
But
I disagree. I think it's okay for people to listen to other podcasts. I mean, it is motorcycle stuff they're listening to.
I'm more worried about the 40-foot-tall cow who's pissed off about the whole steak thing.
Look, we're only providing them 20 to 30 minutes of entertainment a week.
Right.
There's a lot of more minutes in a week. You're going to have to understand they got to listen to some other stuff.
They could spend the rest of the time working so they can send us Hickory Farms and Aprilias.
Speaking of Hickory Farms, it's that time of year.
What time?
Near the end of the season for most people who are club racing.
But let's
It's time to thank your sponsors,
people.
We
need to introduce ourselves first. This is Ed Sorbo from Lindemann Engineering.
Where?
Right? He's got to be in here someplace. You can find him on the web at lesuspension, le-suspension.com. Kevin, I was on the track day with him this weekend. He keeps going, why is Ed, he hasn't changed his website. He's still the French suspension tuner. And I am Michael Gugis. You can find me parked at the Apex at your favorite track day near you.
And by parked at the Apex, he means parked at the Apex.
You know, I did a track day this weekend, and it just, you know, kind of reminds you of how far you've come when you're a racer. You know, my friend Ronnie, give a shout out to Ronnie and Kevin who are out there with me this weekend. He stood up in the stands at turn one at Willow, and he's like, I got a new nickname for you. I'm like, what's the nickname? He's like, it's Silk. I'm like, why are you calling me Silk? He's like,
because your underwear?
Because of my, no. Then my nickname would have been Thong. he said, because you're smooth. Hey, just, you know what?
If you hang around with slow enough people, everybody looks fast.
And you ride the same track for about 20 years. You know, you'll at least look like you know what you're doing. You know, it was a fun day. Hey, Ed.
Yes, Michael.
What's the similarity between me and Casey Stoner?
You're both bad fishermen.
No, we're both bad. We're both bipeds. I'm a horrible fisherman, but we're both bipeds. No, Casey once famously said, and this is a shout out to Danny Pedrosa, who won at Motegi. Casey got off the bike during testing one year. This is a story from Danny's former crew chief.
Covering your mouth with your hand when you're making a radio show?
I'm stroking my goatee.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, everybody knows I'm intelligent.
What did
right?
Casey say?
Casey got off the bike, looked at Danny's crew chief, and says, I have no idea how Danny rides one of these things.
Well, Casey made a Ducati win a MotoGP championship.
But
the reality is, he has no idea how anybody else rides a motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
Well, hey, but we have a list.
We do. But hold on. Let me just finish. It has to do...
Welcome to life with
right. Gugis. Exactly. Boy, I put the fun in unscripted. No, it was just the idea that Danny's
you can't even remember what you
Danny
unscripted.
Danny is so small, and it's so hard to turn one of those things at speed.
That's so much bullshit.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the illusion
that
propagated by you and everybody else except me that it's difficult to make a motorcycle lean. The force required at the handlebar to lean a motorcycle on your average highway speed turn is a pound or less.
Right.
It's more important how long you push on the handlebars than it is how hard you push on the handlebars.
Wow.
Everybody who's having a hard time making their motorcycle turn is pushing in the wrong manner. All it requires is a little bit of patience, a duration of the push. Instead of pushing really, really hard for a nanosecond, you just push lightly for a few tenths of a second.
But then how do you do the
Keith... You start the push sooner.
How do you do the Keith Code quick flick thing, where you try to go from upright to full lean as rapidly as possible?
Well, it's not the Keith Code quick flick thing. It's anybody who knows how to ride a motorcycle.
Okay, so how do you reconcile... Ed, how do you reconcile slow motion on the handlebar with immediately flicking from full upright to
Well, first of all, it's not necessarily slow.
Okay.
Okay? It's just that you have to push longer.
Okay.
So you start the push far enough in advance to have the lean angle, to have a gyroscopic precession have its effect.
Okay.
Okay?
That
Here's the
sense.
Thing to understand is when you push on the handlebars, it's like closing the door
right.
of a house.
Okay.
Okay? It's very easy to close the door. Right? The door moves easily. It only weighs a little bit.
Right.
But once the door is closed, you push as hard as you want, you're not going to move the house. The more you deflect your front wheel, the harder the gyro, the front wheel,
right.
pushes back. So if you don't take advantage of the early deflection, if you don't start it early, okay? Then you're going to try to make up for it later on, try to deflect it more. And then you're going to have to push really hard to get very little advantage.
All I know is that I'm worn out after wrestling that R1.
Okay, so the vast majority of that comes from just hanging on to the bike because you're scared, because you're not looking far enough ahead. That's the number one thing. And I guarantee you, if you look farther ahead...
Maybe for other people.
Yeah, right.
Okay, all I know is that there's a difference between doing it on an SV and an R1. You're going in there a lot faster, and there's a lot more gyroscopic effect.
Which means, okay, so let's take the most difficult corner example there could be.
Okay.
The transition from 7 to 8 at Big Willow.
That's exactly where I was.
You're pinned in 6th gear on any motorcycle,
right,
and you're leaning a little bit to the left, and now you got to make it go all the way to the right. Okay. What you and everybody else is doing is pushing hard the minute they want the thing to start turning.
Right.
And the wheel immediately says, sorry, you can't move me that far. And the bike takes X amount of time to lean from a little left over to the right.
Right.
Okay. But you've never tried just pushing gently for the same amount of time. And if you did that, because you're pushing hard doesn't make it turn any faster. It only matters the time. So instead of pushing effectively against a closed door, just push lightly for the same amount of time, and the bike will make the transition in the same amount of time, which is going to be the same distance.
I'm suspicious, but I'll try.
There's a thing called science, right? So you try one thing, then you try something else, and then you get the results, okay?
I'll try it. Yeah. I'm suspicious, though. Well,
I mean, I'm faster than most people, and I've been doing it longer than most people, and I have thought about it more than most people. And I even have studied the results of the Motorcycle Safety Foundation photographic task analysis conducted in about 1972, which was the first, and so far as I know, only scientific test that proved whether gyroscopic precession, countersteering, actually exists. And they did it with high-speed cameras and a big room with grids painted on the walls and on the floor, and they didn't have the modern stuff they have now, computers and whatever, but they then watched, and they have footage that proves that the wheel deflects and all of that
stuff. So what you're saying is that experience and science backs up your point of view.
Trumps just, like, just believe.
I'm still not sure about all this.
That's kind of, fortunately, Eric Philipson.
Who's that?
One of the smartest motorcycle riders I know.
Okay.
And wicked fast.
Okay.
Can back up all of my data.
Oh, most of us can back up your data. It doesn't mean I have to believe it, okay?
No, you don't. That's absolutely that. Which therein lies the beauty of religions. So we have a list and we still haven't even started. Michael.
Right.
Why are you upset? And of course, folks understand that just because Michael's upset, like, that doesn't even make it to the normal scale of mildly annoyed for anybody else. Okay? Upset with forward racing. Why are you upset with forward racing?
I do not have pet peeves. I have major psychotic hatreds.
Yeah. Now, okay. I'm going to say that my angst with forward racing is the color scheme.
It's not
they
pretty.
Have that.
It's
no, not it's not. But you why know, are you upset?
Because they haven't called. And I'm going to put this out here to anybody who owns a professional road racing team. Listen up. If your rider is finishing last, call me. I will do the job for half of whatever they're getting paid. Okay? So I put it out there. Hey.
I got to admit, that was funny. I'm going to put a check next to this.
Okay, great. I'll do it for half the money, but I want 2 brawly girls.
Okay.
No, wait. You know what? Just one. I'm old.
What does this note
Maybe
mean?
Maybe 2, so they could...
More I'm on engine listening. Braking, James Ellison and BSB, British Superbike, at Silverstone, and Mick Bozeman at Bike Sports Development.
Yeah,
what
right.
is this about?
Mick is a guy who is one of the most,
yeah, I got that.
One of the most knowledgeable people I know when it comes to motorcycle electronics. I just remember something he said a couple of years ago. He said traction control and wheelie control is so well understood that nowadays when you show up at the track, the single most important thing to do is you work on the engine braking first, and then you get to traction control and wheelie control. And I was watching a British Superbike race.
So it used to be that we would get to a racetrack,
right,
okay, with your whatever motorcycle you had, the
right.
track you don't know or whatever, and the first thing you had to figure out was what gearing to have on the motorcycle.
Because computers
didn't
do
know,
that,
right, okay? Nowadays, the guys have been running the same tracks long enough, blah, blah, blah. They already know what gearing they're going to put on the bike.
Right.
And so then the first thing that was critical when we first had fuel injection was working out the map
right.
to make the most power you could make first. right?
Right.
And then that was it. You're done with that for the week, and then you move on to the next thing. So now we've progressed forward enough that all that stuff is known enough, and now the thing that they least understand is therefore the thing that is the most critical to make the bike work, because if you send a rider out with the bike geared way too short and he's revving in sixth gear, you know, halfway down the straightaway, it's practice is pointless.
Right.
So what Michael is saying, what this guy Bozeman is saying, is that that's the new version of this.
That's the new gray area.
And that's the neat thing about racing is that whatever that thing is, a moving target, right?
Right, right.
At some point, they're going to get traction control or engine braking worked out enough to something else will be the new first thing.
Now it'll be the rear suspension.
And of course, that always assumes that the rider knows the track. If you go to a track and it's the first time for the rider, well then, the first thing is just give the guy a bike that's predictable and works and let him learn the track.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Okay, you know, go on.
Chris,
so that was Mick.
Yeah,
I'm keeping the pressure on because we got a long list.
Ellison at Silverstone.
Yeah, what did he say?
Well, he was complaining that the engine braking setting was not perfect on his bike. At the beginning of the race, there was enough traction. This is kind of funny because we don't think of traction going both directions on the tire. He said the traction on the rear tire
say
when it
we
was...
carefully.
Yeah, we carefully. We, the rest of the human race, Ed, not you, okay?
Tires work in both directions, folks.
Right, exactly. So he said at the beginning of the race, new tire, enough traction, had enough engine braking. As the tire got more slippery as it wore and lost grip, he was losing not drive grip, but engine braking going into the corners and ran wide constantly. You just watched him plummet down the order.
I call that the magic part of the tire, right? When the tire's still fresh, just brand new, it's good for a little bit more. This is why the MotoGP guys, even though they don't have qualifying tires, they all do one lap on the new soft tire.
Right.
Because for that one lap, it has a little tiny bit more. It's magic. And so what Michael's saying is that these guys missed on the engine braking setup, which caused excessive wear to the tire. And then because the bike was more loose, he started moving backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Short brake pedal.
Short brake pedal.
Continuation
what?
Of, we talked about engine braking.
Yeah.
And Rick Crespo.
Rick,
was listening,
what up, yo?
He was listening to the show in the car with his wife. And he says, also, my wife was in the car as we listened to the show, period. She giggled the entire time.
Oh, God
so
bless
check
you,
it out.
Young lady. We're going to send
Chicks
her some Hickory Farms.
Yeah,
we're going to send
excellent.
Her some Hickory Farms.
Anyway,
we're gonna keep the
Aprilia. Rick reminded me that in that phone conversation I had with him explaining engine braking, I had mentioned a short brake pedal on my TZ. It was a form of controlling the rear brake.
Right.
So what I did was I don't have the skills to modulate my rear brake with my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never bothered to even try to do the rear brake with the thumb thing. It's just never been a concern for me. All I can do is apply the rear brake hard. Right? There's one setting. I can either not move my foot or I can move my foot.
It's on or off.
Yeah, exactly. And I had learned that while carrying passengers on the racetrack, I could mash on the rear brake and it would help to slow us down. It worked great. But if I did that without a passenger, then it would just walk the tire up.
Right.
So I shortened the brake pedal on my TZ250. I relocated the part you press on with your toe halfway back up. And I have a welder, you know, it's easy to do.
Right.
That then allowed me to, one, not have to move my foot forward to reach it, because I ride on the balls of my feet.
Right.
I just push down on my toes, and my toe is catching the little
Very
tap.
Very clever.
And it's got way less leverage, and it doesn't lock up. So, at a track like Road America, where there's three long straightaways, and I have enough time to remember, oh yeah, I'm going to use the rear brake, because it's not my normal
Right, you got to remember
thing.
That.
I don't have muscle memory for the rear brake.
Right.
So I'm bombing down a straightaway. I'm in sixth gear for like an hour, right? I'm all relaxing and thinking, and I'm getting ready, and I apply the rear brake just a moment before the front brake.
Load the front suspension, load the front tire.
Loads the rear. It's the rear brake.
Right.
Squats the rear.
Right, but it rotates around the rear axle.
It's squat. When you apply the rear brake, the back of the bike gets shorter.
What?
Okay. And then because the back of the bike is short, just go try it on the way home. When the back of the bike gets shorter, I can now brake harder at the front brake, because maximum braking is limited by the fact that you're skying the rear wheel, not by grip.
Right.
So if I go front brake first, the back of the bike was higher.
Picks up.
It's going to do a stoppy easier by applying the rear brake. And at Road America, the difference was like 10 yards.
Really?
It was huge.
Wow.
You
want
to know what led me to doing this?
Hmm.
I walked down to turn one, the exit of the pit road in the pits there. to watch the superbike guys in their race. And those motherfuckers on bikes like twice as heavy as mine, going way faster than mine, were braking later than me. And I'm like, I got to fix that. That's bullshit. It can't
something,
be.
There's something that's got to be done. I've heard of people bleeding air into the rear brake system.
Yeah, but all brake systems bleed themselves automatically. So you can put air in to make the brakes have less effect.
Right,
but over time, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
So that's a bullshit way of doing it. Yeah. Okay, being quickest in a lap doesn't make you a winner, and more on backing it in.
I got it. I figured it out, and I was
so blocked. Michael sent me an email of concepts, right? The ideas, and I printed them out.
As the ideas are flowing, I just need to get them to Ed as rapidly as possible. I don't have room in my brain.
Ed has this thing in a racetrack. He takes notes.
I don't have room in my brain to keep the idea once I've had it. I need that gray matter to come up with brilliant new ideas.
You can't imagine how many really smart things I thought of while driving between races, and they're gone now.
Bovine growth hormone, okay?
Yep. So what was this one about?
I was watching. All I do is watch racing. That's all I watch. Okay?
It's not all you do.
I'm right now, okay, occasionally I race, okay?
Well, then your job.
What? That's just, walking the dogs. That's just time in between the time at the track. Right now I'm watching Super Formula in Japan, which is a lot of fun. A lot of fun to watch Formula cars, especially when the announcers are in Japanese and I don't understand a word of Japanese. Although apparently there's no phrase in Japanese for safety car. Because they had a crash and one of them starts yelling, safety car!
There's also no word for automobile. Because the Japanese language, right, is a picture graph language.
Right.
It evolved from pictures. Right?
Okay.
So kanjis, Chinese, Korean, Japanese,
are
all picture graphs.
Right.
Originally, the thing that's a word for a man riding a horse.
Right. Was a picture of a man riding a horse.
Exactly.
Right.
You can kind of sort of still see it. Right?
Right.
So then they didn't have a way to make up new words. You didn't have a picture graph of a car. Right?
Right.
So they just borrowed English and they say automobile. Or safety car. And it's hilarious in the middle of...
Right, all
safety car!
I speak Japanese! Oh my God! Right, anyway.
I know a little something about everything, don't I?
Yes. You pretend to know a little something about everything, and then that's half the battle.
Somebody right now is sending me an email with the correct... Us. Yeah.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Whoever that person is, they need to get their own... podcast.
Exactly. Or so, send us some hickory farts.
We all know that having the quickest lap time doesn't win a race. Duh.
Right. No, well, my point is that I was YouTube and the internet is filled with racing. Ed, watch the Qatar Superbike series. They've added a new class this year.
Speaking of Qatar, you know what I did?
What did you
yesterday?
Do? What?
Or right before I watched Australian GP.
Right.
I went back to Qatar and watched the race.
Right.
And compared the sound of the Yamaha engine from then to now, I can hear a difference. It's lower RPM now than it was.
Maybe that explains why they got smoked like a pack of cools down the straight at Phillip Island.
But they are dominating the championship.
Right.
Right?
Right, right.
And one way to get better traction control, have less cuts, is to be lower in the power.
Right.
And a way to get better mileage is to be lower in the power.
Mm-hmm.
So what else they've done, you know, I don't know exactly, but... there's two things here. One, what great coverage that you can go back and compare that, right?
Isn't it?
And then the other is, you know, and that was the other thing I noticed, right? The Ducatis were battling at the front, seriously, at Qatar.
Right.
You're like, holy smokes, right?
Right.
And then we're wondering what happened, right? What happened is Yamaha is getting better and Ducati is where they were along.
And I also think it's the nature of the track. It's the nature of the track. And we talked about this off the record. Phillip Island... You don't have to have that acceleration out of
can't call Ducati's performance at Phillip Island proof that they've improved because the other Ducati was nowhere.
And in it was a different environment. You're not getting, it's just like, but I was talking about my friend who had the overinflated rear tire, why it spun in some corners and not in others.
Just tell him it's because he's a superbike stud.
That's right.
But check this out. When everybody keeps talking about how fast a Ducati is, right?
Right.
If that were totally true,
right,
he would have passed every time on the front straight. And he only went blowing by when he did everything right, and maybe they had a little less than perfect, and he had the draft.
But, but he was able to get by the Yamahas fairly regularly, but he was not able to get by the Hondas.
Gas mileage. He has two extra liters.
2 extra liters of fuel.
So, Yamaha,
I was getting there. Internet, filled with awesome racing.
Yes.
Qatar, the Superbike Series, has a veterans class this year. The guy who's winning the veterans class is this fat old Irish guy. How the hell did he wind up racing in Qatar? It's so cool.
Fat people don't like it where it's really hot.
Oh, that's what I'm... He didn't look good on top of the...
He's easy to draft.
And... So, where was I? Right. So I was watching... You can watch the FIM Repsol European Championship. It's all on YouTube. All the full races, right? And so I'm watching their Moto2 race. And I'm watching guys, and they're battling at the front, and they're clearly slowing each other down. The lap time is not what wins the race. It's diving into the corner in front of the other dude, backing it in so crazily that he cannot possibly get by you. Even if you've blown the corner, he's got no way to get around you. And if you can manage to get from corner to corner like that, you could be seconds slower a lap and still win.
Yamaha, the racing company, and the brilliance of the new R1. Go.
Oh, geez, that thing's amazing. And the reason...
We had to write that down?
No. Here's the reason it's amazing. No matter what you make them do to that bike, it wins.
Unless you want to run it in an endurance race.
No, they did great.
They did good at Suzuka.
And where else did they win?
When national level guys have to modify the gas tank to finish national level races.
That's one thing, okay? But that bike has won two of the five rounds of World Endurance Championship this year. I think it's four rounds this year.
Okay.
Okay? You let them run whatever electronics they want, basically, which is AMA Superbike. It wins. You make them take off all the electronics and run a spec bike, a box, like in British Superbike. It wins. Wherever the bike is racing, it wins. You could probably make them take the wheels off, run spoked rims, and bias-ply tires, and it would win.
You know, Heller's only got about 2,000 miles on his bike, and he's already repainting it.
Why?
Because he's Tommy Heller, dude.
Well,
and he can.
Who's Tommy Heller?
The guy who has an R1 lives in Hawaii.
Okay.
Former Team Hawaii member.
Paint shop? Or just...
Auto repair, everything.
Oh, okay, got it.
He has everything in one place. Hey...
What?
Two-minute board.
I don't really...
I got one.
You have one? Okay.
Yeah. Talk to me about giving people the bird while you're on the racetrack.
I feel really bad about it. Although it worked out. It worked out.
Hey, you got lucky.
I was scared. Somebody did the classic Willow Springs, I'm going to kill you move. He came out of turn 9, saw the checkered flag, and thought, oh my God, I'm supposed to get off the track, and made the hard left toward pit lane.
So folks, if you are running a track day.
Any track day.
One of the things you need to talk about in your riders meeting, besides how to get on and off the track, which is possibly the most important thing you got to talk about.
Oh, Jesus. Right?
Is the other thing, which is, listen, if you're supposed to have a plan for whatever you're doing while you're riding.
Right.
Right? If you're going to change that plan, you got to signal first.
Because the other riders...
Far better to go take an extra lap.
Right.
And have a short delay. Because by one guy who took an extra lap, then to have a red flag and people hurt, yada, yada, yada. And if we don't talk about that stuff, these people are here for their first time. They don't know.
Right.
They've never done this.
And that's why I felt bad about slowing down and flipping him off all the way down the front straight away. I don't regret the first two times I did it because I was scared, you know? I really was. You got to remember, he's not trying to kill me. He just freaked. I get that. And you know what? To his credit, I'll give the guy mad props for this. Because I don't know if I'd have followed somebody as mad as me back to the pits. He followed me back to the garage, and he apologized, and I gave him a big hug. I said, you just got to be real careful of that, man. The last dude I saw do that got airlifted out of here.
So the first requirement is for the track day and the race organization to properly inform us, participants, of how to do what we're doing.
Right.
And then the backup thing is for all of us participants to participate in the education of ourselves and our friends and everybody else. And you've got a lot of options. The better way to deal with Michael's situation is to go tell the authorities.
Right.
Frequently, though, these authorities are lazy motherfuckers who don't go do their job, right? Because they're, like, afraid that guy won't pay them to come there in the future.
This was not the case.
Exactly.
You know,
so there's multiple ways to solve this problem.
Right.
And, you know, but, okay, so Michael did it maybe not in the perfect way, but the important thing is that he participated in the education process.
Right.
And it's important because really, people can get killed because of this stuff.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and if we can't take it serious, then we're not going to get to continue to play with our toys. He's Michael Gugis.
He's Ed Sorbo.
Aloha.